word is truth. And without it, Father, that we would be lost and without hope and without Christ. And we pray, Lord, tonight that you'll forgive us, first of all, Father, for the things that we've done in our lives that have been against you. And Lord, and pray we'll take the time to confess them tonight and put them under the blood that we might be able to receive the Bible doctrine that you have for us. And Lord, we just do love you and thank you and praise you for the time we've set aside tonight. Lord, these are your people. They're good people. They've come out tonight after working all day and Lord, to want to get a blessing from you. And Lord, I know I have nothing that I can give them, but only as it comes from you and your word. And Lord, we do love you. Look forward to this year, to all the things that you're going to do. Lord, as we talked about New Year's Eve and the groups coming up, Lord, to really focus on being everything that we can be for you. We love you. We thank you now. Take the questions. Holy Spirit of God, lead and guide us into all truth that we may leave here closer to you and challenged in all that we endeavor to do. In Jesus' name, for whose sake we ask it, amen. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. We appreciate you being here. And as you know, on Thursday night, Sandy, don't leave the night without me talking to you, okay? You're not in trouble or anything. I just need to, don't worry about it. I don't want you breaking into a panic attack during Bible study. No big deal. We give our people a lot of Bible around here. We encourage them to study the Bible and read the Bible. And we come together on Thursday night basically for what we call a Bible discussion. Any question you want to ask about the Bible. I love questions about the Bible. Before I got here, I just finished an hour with a young man in the office there having a good time asking questions about the Bible. So I'm in my question mode. So I want to help you learn any way I can. And I learned a long time ago, the best way to learn the Bible is to get in it, read it, and study it, and then have somebody you can ask questions to that won't be afraid of your questions, and it will always take you to the Bible to the answer, and that's the key, going back to the Bible. You don't need to worry about what I think any more than I need to worry about what you think. For us around here, it's let God be true and every man a liar. We believe the Bible is the absolute final authority on all things in faith and practice. So that's what we do with it tonight. So getting that kicked off here, I got a question on the floor. You want to take us? You want to do that one? Huh?
I'll try.
Oh, you try. Well, you just ask it. I'll answer it. All you got to do is ask it. I'm not asking to answer it.
Well, actually, I was wondering if anybody heard what I thought I heard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a controversial statement he had said about the earthquake in Haiti and that maybe it was expected and Satan caused it because of some biblical teachings or some rituals or something that they performed or did.
Okay. Anybody hear that? You want to amplify that? Yes, Shelley, go ahead first. Real loud now so everybody can hear. Louder, like you're yelling at John. Oh, boy. Shelley is a woman preacher. She just doesn't know it yet. Go ahead, Shelley.
And basically said that Haiti is like the pit of demonic activity and that this possibly could be God's wrath upon them. He said that. I can't remember word for word.
Okay.
I just sat there.
Yes, ma'am.
He said that when the Haitians kicked out the French from the island, they made a pact with Satan that if he would help them become rich, they would worship him. That's basically what he said.
Well, what's wrong with that? That's what they do in America. Haiti don't have a corner on that. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, let me just say this, and I'm not gonna stand up here tonight and tell you that God sent an earthquake down to Haiti, but I think that one of the things that you got to learn about the world that we live in, and this is something that we're going to get into. We had our first church history class last Tuesday night and pretty much packed it out. It was a great time. And, you know, one of the things that I want to do, and you as a child of God need to try to do, and that is simply that you need to be aware of what's going on in the world around you. And we know, if we know anything about the Bible at all, we know that, and I'm just going to make this statement, we know that in the Old Testament, God had no problem sending judgment to nations that were contrary to where he was at. In fact, I want to give you a verse here that I think that is a verse that's very prevalent for where we're at today. And I keep a list of these in the front of my Bible. I mean, each one of them would be just an absolute sermon if you got into a situation where you had to preach something and didn't have an outline. But boy, these things will just fly by themselves here. Let's see where I want to go here. I got about 20 of them in here. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 28. Now, this is probably one of the greatest verses that's going to help you with things like that you have to deal with in everyday living. In everyday life. And I think one of the downfalls of modern Christianity today is the fact that we really don't understand how God works and what God does. And, you know, so because of that, many, many times a disaster happens and we fall on one side or the other or don't know where to fall. But look at this verse. It's down here in chapter 28, verse 5. And it says this. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that, now watch this second part of this verse, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Now, we've talked before about the word understanding. And notice it says that if you seek the Lord, you understand all things. Let me tell you what God wants for you. Maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you'll never get there. Some of you are well on the way there, but the bottom line is this. There's three aspects you find in the Bible. The first thing that you find is the word facts. We call it knowledge. Knowledge in the Bible are things that we learn. And when you go to school, you get knowledge. And when you come to the point where you learn things, as you get a little older in life or you read more, that's another thing I don't think God's people do much today is read. It's hard for them to get them to read their Bible, let alone reading anything else about going on in the world. But in the Bible, you find three phrases. You find knowledge, you find wisdom, and you find understanding. Now, the verse says that if you seek the Lord, you'll understand all things. Now, what happens is this. The world has knowledge. And the world has wisdom. But the world does not have understanding. And this is very important that you understand what I'm saying, so I'm going to take my time to lay this thing out. Now, facts or knowledge is simply the facts. When you come to the point where you find an unsaved man can have knowledge. He may be a mechanic and have great knowledge about your car. He may be a plumber or electrician and have great knowledge about how to wire your house or do that. So we'll find that in the world, we will find that unsaved people do have knowledge. Now, the longer that unsaved person has that knowledge and they grow in knowledge, that knowledge will move into what we call wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge applied. Knowledge is, that is a engine in that car. Knowledge applied is taking apart, putting it back together, and then saying, now I have wisdom because I know how that car, that engine works. So wisdom is facts applied. The thing that you want to remember, that the unsaved world can have facts, knowledge, and they can have wisdom. Knowledge applied. What the world can never have is the third part of that, and that is understanding. In your Bible, you'll find where there are knowledge and there is wisdom. You'll find it in Proverbs. You'll find it in Psalms. You'll find a reference to knowledge. The Bible says the fear of the Lord, what is the beginning of knowledge? See? The Bible talks about wisdom. And then the Bible talks about understanding. Now, in the world that we live in, an unsaved man can have knowledge and he can have wisdom. But what he cannot have is understanding, because understanding is defined in the Bible at looking at any given situation and seeing how the Bible and God fits into that situation. Let me give you a couple of examples. And I've used this before, but it's a great example. Some of you like to listen to Rush Limbaugh. Some of you like to listen to Glenn Beck. Or some of you, you know, like to listen to the conservative side of things, and you listen to what those guys talk about, and you know, they talk about our government, they talk about our government and you losing your rights, and going from a place where we once were a country that had rights and we followed the Constitution, and we're moving in from a democracy into a socialistic concept. And they talk about the Democrats and how liberal they are and how the progressive movement has come down through the last, 50, 60 years in this country and has really put us right where we're at right now, that has destroyed the country and everything that we're going. And they talk about all of the things. We have the Tea Parties. And the Tea Parties are based on the Boston Tea Parties back in the 1700s when we were under British rule, under George V. And they were giving us all kinds of problems, and so we started to revolt against it, and started with the Tea Parties and wound up with a Revolutionary War, from which we broke off the shackles of England, and we then formed our own Constitution, our own Declaration of Independence, and then come on from there. And you hear these guys talk about the fact that our country now is shifting from what it once was, from a wholesome conservative, love God, love the Bible, have morals, have things that are right and all of those things, and then move to a point where, because of the progressive movement or because of the liberal movement that certainly permeates our government at this particular point in time, that we're shifting everything from what it once was, land of the free, home of the brave, to the point now where we're going to wind up with universal health care. They're going to slowly take your rights away from you, and pretty soon we're going to wind up where, you know, they're going to tell you how many people live in your house, what property you can have, what you can't, how many children you can have. These are all things that they're putting out there that are on the horizon, that they're saying that that these things are what the Democrats and the liberals and what the world wants. I mean, they talk about the Obama administration, and they point out all of the people that are in that, that are people who are revolutionary people, who are Marxists, who are people who hate the form of government that we have. You see leaders in Congress bad-mouthing our soldiers, calling them baby killers, exactly what they did in my war in Vietnam and things like that. And we hear all of that, see? And what we have in that is this. That's somebody, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, whoever. That's somebody taking the knowledge that they have, developing it by reading other books and coming up with wisdom of what's going on in this country. And 24/7, you hear it on Fox News, on Fox Radio. Everybody's out there that is a conservative on the side, all of them, they all have facts and they all have wisdom. But what not one of them have is the ability to put everything that's going on in our world right now in context. Because you know what context is, ladies and gentlemen? Context is understanding how God fits into the equation. Let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. Are we so shallow as God's people? Is the concept of the end times and the tribulation period and the Antichrist and all the things that's got to happen here to get to that point right there, are we so shallow in that we just think the church is here on Monday and Tuesday, we go out and the tribulation starts? Everything you're seeing in this government You look at it as a bad thing. You know why? Because Rush Limbaugh and Beck want you to turn this country around. May I speak freely from a Bible student? I don't want this country to turn around. I hope, I'm not praying it for it to get better. I'm praying for it to get worse. Because I have something that most God's people don't have. I have not only the facts and the wisdom, I have the understanding that that's where this country's got to go before the Lord comes back. You know why Glenn Beck and those guys and all of the conservatives, do you know why they want the country to get better? Come on. You know why the Republicans wanted to get better and the conservatives wanted to get better? So they can get in government and then they can run it. I don't want it to get better so they can get in government and give me my rights back. I want it to get worse so the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes back, kicks the fire out of everybody, and sets his son down on the throne in Jerusalem to run the world right. Amen. Thank you for those two amens. But anyway, that's understanding. All history, all life, everything on this planet, you have to understand that the God of the Bible is the God of history. There is no history without God. There's a reason why our country broke free from England and founded in its Declaration of Independence and in our Constitution. There's a reason why they chose not to be a democracy. They chose to be a republic. When you used to say the American Legion of the Flag, it used to be, and to the democracy for which it stands. Is that what it was? To the republic. Do you know the difference between a democracy and a republic? A democracy is one where the majority rules. A democracy is where we vote on something. And if we don't like this, then we don't like prayer in school. If we don't want prayer in school, we take a vote. If 51% don't want it, that's the way it goes. If we want to make abortion legal or drugs legal, we vote. And a democracy, you vote for it. In a republic, you don't vote for anything. A republic is built on the, in our republic anyhow, was built on the concept that this country was founded on the principles of the Bible. And within the principles of the Bible, there was no voting on that. When the Bible said it was wrong to do this, a republic doesn't vote whether it's right or wrong. Those things are fixed in stone in a republic. Now, if you want to vote on should we raise the price of corn or wheat, then in a republic you vote on those things. A republic is built on unchanging principles. In our case, the Word of God. Remember you heard the Roman Republic, the Roman Empire was a republic? Well, it wasn't based on unchanging principles in the Bible. It was based on unchanging principles that Rome had come up with. But it's the same system. Except our republic was built on a King James 1611 authorized version by people who had left Europe by being persecuted by the Roman Catholic Church and the church-state setups and came to America to found a country based on biblical principles, a republic. See? How it started. And our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence was formed by the preaching of two of the greatest preachers the world has ever seen, George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards. When they wrote our Constitution and our founding fathers looked at it, they sent it back because they said that it did not have enough references of God in it. Because they said, we can't ever forget what God has done, so they sent it back and they put three more references to God and what he'd done for this country. It was based on a republic. You know why? Because God had a plan for America. America, and I don't have time to go through all the nations down through history and the times of the Gentiles and show you how God formed them and for what purpose he formed them. We don't have time tonight. But it's the difference between just having wisdom and just having facts or knowledge and wisdom and then getting understanding. Understanding will always be what's God doing in this thing. Let me give another example. We know that in 1948, Israel became a nation. For 4,000 years, Israel had never been a nation, had no country. The Jews were left homeless. They were the vagabonds of the world. They had no home. And suddenly in 1948, Israel becomes a nation again. I'm sure that all the news media, CBS, NBC, all covered it. I wasn't born in 1948. But I'm, think that's funny? Whoa, whoa, time out here. I gotta get over here and slap this lady. You, why did you laugh at that? Do I look like, help me here.
Do There's I no help for me.
Do I look like I should have been born in 48?
No, no.
All right, all right, all right. We have the ushers here and take this lady out and shoot her. Man. No, no, it wasn't good at all. No, it wasn't. I mean, you know, I already went to the Subway today to get a sandwich, and then the lady asked me, I'll give you the senior citizen discount. So I'm not on a good day anyhow.
Can we vote on it, Bob?
No, we can't. This is not a democracy. This is a republic, and I'm only 26. But the whole world changed right under our nose. And most of God's people never saw it. Downtown, we got one of the greatest museums probably in the world, World War I Museum. Some of you have been through it last year when we were down there, and we'd go down every once in a while and go through it just because of the history side of it. Very important. You go down there, and I think most of you that were down there with us, we sat down there for that 20-minute little presentation on a movie screen that they showed us. And you know what? When we were done, I thought to myself, wow, you know, World War I and all that's kind of, it's so far back, you know, and I wasn't born back in 1917 either. But it's so far back, you know, my goodness, some of us have a tough time figuring out what was going on last year, that in 1914. But when you sit down and saw that and understood that, it really put it into a historical perspective for you. You understood what was going on in Europe. You understood why World War I got off the ground with assassination of Archduke Ferdinand of Hungary. You began to put it together. When you left there, you had a pretty good concept of everything that was going on. Now, if you went over to a college here someplace and you took a history course, they'd obviously cover that point of time. And they would basically probably give you the same scenario that that you got down at the Liberty Memorial, and that is the nations. Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated, and of course that brought Hungary into the war. Germany came in, Russia came in, and bang, before you know it, this guy had an alliance with this person saying, if you attack us, we'll go to war with you. Before you know it, World War I was on its way. You see, that's knowledge, and that's wisdom. World War II. World War II started in Europe long before the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor in 1941. The war in Europe was festering by 1935 and 36. Adolf Hitler and the Nazis came into power about 1933. And it developed, and when he invaded all of Europe, and he invaded Poland and Czechoslovakia, and then a little bit later on, he invaded England, and World War II was on the way. And you could probably, if you want a good thing of it, Just watch the channel, you know, and pretty soon you'll see that documentary of World of War. Buy it for $29.95. It's the greatest thing you ever saw. It'll give you all the historical perspective. And if I was teaching a history class and I was just limited to knowledge and wisdom, I would take the knowledge of how World War I and World War II started. Then I would take the knowledge and develop it into wisdom and show you how the whole thing got going. But I would fall short, because the key to World War I and World War II, just like the key to all history, is understanding. The key to understanding the beginning of our country is no different than understanding World War I and World War II. You can't just have the knowledge and you got to have the wisdom. You got to have understanding. What did all that mean to God? And when I sit up here and tell you all the physical facts of World War I and World War II and lay out how the nations changed after that, and how Hitler did this, and Archduke Ferdinand did this, and Kaiser Wilhelm did this, and Winston Churchill did this, and the whole nine yards, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I've given you a lot of knowledge and I've given you a lot of wisdom. But you know what God's playing in it? You know what understanding is? And that's what he said. He said that the unsaved man does not understand judgment, but the guy that seeks the Lord understands all things. Understanding is the key we want here, not only in this thing in Haiti, but all down through history. Now, you know what you have when you put God in it? World War I got the land ready for the Jew. World War II got the Jew ready for the land. And 2 years later in 1948, or 3 years later in 1948, they became a nation. You see, that's facts, wisdom, and understanding. You know why God made this nation, the great nation it was, based on a republic and the Word of God? Because God had plans for America. God knew that America was going to be the greatest nation that ever come down the line. It was going to be the nation that was going to be the final nation before the Lord came back. And if you don't know that from the book of Daniel, where all the Gentile nations are lined out right up to the Antichrist, I don't know what to tell you. I've been playing too many video games. Better get back to the Bible. This is how you get understanding. This is how you know that living today in 2010, faced with a thing in Haiti, faced with a thing that a couple of years ago down in Sri Lanka, faced with all the things across this world. Why is it that all through the British Empire and the British Mandate through the 1914s, 1920s, 1930s, how come the Muslims were just nice little guys that you bought dates off of and bought this off of and never really were a terror organization that were under British rule and pretty much did? Why is it that suddenly now the same little docile people who ran around back in the early part of the 20th century are now the terrorist organization of the world? Understanding. Let me tell you something, folks. Everything in your world, whether you know it or not or want to believe it or not, everything in your world and down through history, from the very beginning right up through church history, has been shaping up toward this event right here. And if you don't grasp that, history is nothing but a bunch of knowledge and a bunch of wisdom, but you have no understanding. God's got a plan. And America was supposed to be part of that plan. You know, I've told you this before. To me, the parallels, and I'm a student of history. I love history. That's why I know for sure I was not around in 1948. You ain't getting off that easy. I'm glad you're in the front row, because I'm going to nail you all night. Weren't you here the other night and I gave you something out of the bookstore free?
No.
You wasn't? Good, because if you was, I was going to make you give it back. I'm just kidding you, honey. I love you. You know what? One thing you're going to learn about me, if I don't play with you, I don't like you. Okay? So I'm just meaning to like you. All right, here we go. But no more jokes about my age. Anyway. God had a plan for this country. And when you understand that plan, you begin to see how the events in this world begin to transpire. Now, I don't have a lot of faith in Pat Robertson or the 700 Club. Before that, it was the PTL Club, Pull the Leg. I don't have a lot of faith in that. But it's okay. You know what? I'm not fighting anything. I got to say this in his defense. He's made a lot of statements that make a lot of people mad that are true statements. I think probably he could do it a different way if he had a better format. I don't know. He's the one that talked about the Muslim in Allah and all that being Satan's religion. Boy, did that cause a fury. And, of course, he's absolutely right when he says those things. I mean, certainly you're not sitting here today thinking that all roads lead to heaven, are you? I mean, certainly you're not here thinking that all religions are right. I mean, the devil, when he wanted to damn the world and send men to hell, he just forgot about starting false religions. Certainly not in one of those boats, are you? I mean, come on. You're all the way through the Bible. You know, he talks about the fact that Satan was an angel of light. I mean, but you've got to get history and the Bible together, and you do that by getting understanding. Now, let's talk about God's plan for America. The parallels between the nation of Israel and America are overwhelming. I've watched it for many, many years. I formed a lot of the basis of the things that I believe about what this country should have been, not only from the book of Daniel, when it actually shows you America in the book of Daniel, as it does Russia and it does England, as it does all the other Gentile nations, Daniel being the book that covers the times of the Gentiles.
But I looked at the different, the parallels between the United States and the nation of Israel. You know that the nation of Israel in the Old Testament was the nation by which God was going to bring about salvation of the world. Now, I know the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and that the nation of Israel was under the kingdom of heaven, and we're under the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. I know that. But you know what? We can't deny the fact, can we, that in the Philadelphian church age right there, that it was England, a literal nation. England, just a little island over there. And yet the Bible says that, history teaches us that England, once they got the King James Bible, actually took the Word of God around the world, a little island nation. In fact, the term was back in the early 1900s that the sun never set on a British soil. You know why? She had colonies everywhere, as did the French, as did the German, as did the Dutch. But England ruled the seas. Her armada was greater than anybody's. She literally ruled the seas, and during that 400 years, from 1600 to 1900, she basically became the nation by which God firmly planted his word around this world. And then the next nation that should have took her place, who had the resources and the money and the power and the technology to take the gospel around the world in these last days, in my mind, God's plan was for America. You ever see the parallels? Israel and America were the only two nations in the history of the world that at their inception, at their beginning, they both started with God and the Word of God. Israel started when God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees and made him a great nation and brought him up through Moses, and through Moses gave the law and then established the nation of Israel with God and the Word of God. America was started by our founding fathers. I stated a few moments ago, they came from Europe. Europe was a landlocked nation of church-state religions that persecuted everybody who didn't believe what they believed. And there was a lot of saved, born-again, blood-washed children of God, Anabaptists, Baptists, Methodists, Anglican, a lot of people who really loved God and the Word of God that were severely persecuted in Europe by the church-state setups. You know what they did? They came to America. The pilgrims in 1620... They came to Plymouth, not in a Plymouth, to Plymouth. Does anybody know here why they came? They came because everybody on that boat had suffered and lost friends, family, to the inquisitions of Europe, of the church state set up that persecuted and imprisoned and murdered Bible-believing people. When they came to this country, they wanted one thing. They wanted the ability with their Bible. And back then, their Bible was the Geneva Bible, the forerunner of your King James Bible. King James Bible hadn't been done yet, but the forerunner of that is what's called the Geneva Bible. And they came to this country on the shores of Plymouth, Massachusetts, and they came bringing their Bible and their families, and they faced the rigors and the perils on the winters and the cold and the starving, because they thought that that was better than the persecution that they had back in Europe, to have the freedom to teach their families the Bible the way they wanted to. That's how America started. When our founding fathers wrote the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and formed the Republic, they did it based on the impact preaching of those two great men, Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield. George Whitefield was the greatest preacher. He's called the Prince of Preachers. There's probably never been a preacher in the history of preaching that has ever attained where George Whitefield attained. Ben Franklin was an unsaved man. To our knowledge, never trusted Christ as his own personal Savior. But he was so moved by Whitefield's preaching. You know what he did? He said, and he wrote this down in his journals, one night they had open-air meetings, and 20, 30,000 people would come and hear Whitefield preach. And he said, one night, on a clear night, I stepped off clearly a half a mile distance from where he was preaching and could hear every word of his sermon distinctly. George Whitefield impacted this world. If you go to Boston, there's a park there called the Boston Commons. And I've been told for years and years and years that there's a plaque there where George Whitefield preached. I used to go to preach at Boston every year. I had a couple of churches up there, and I'd hold revivals for her, and I made it my goal to find that little plaque. I asked everybody in the park service. Nobody knew where it was. Finally, I found some old guy about my third or fourth trip, and he showed me where it was. And right there, all grown over in the grass, was a little brass plaque. And you know what it said? It said, on this spot, in 1730, whatever it was, George Whitefield preached, and 30,000 people came to Christ. He's a powerful preacher. Jonathan Edwards was another one. Those two men formed the foundation of this country. I don't care what the liberals say. They don't understand history. They have no understanding of God in history. God had a plan for America, just like God had a plan for Israel. You go a little bit along farther in Israel's line, in Israel's time. Not only are Israel and America both founded by on the principles of God and the Word of God, but yeah, a little bit later on in Israel's time, you know what happens? Israel goes through a civil war, and Israel gets split north and south. Jeroboam and Rehoboam, remember that? You know what happened in this country a little bit later after it got started? We got split north and south in a civil war, didn't we? Okay. God had a plan for America, and he had a plan for the nation of Israel. And in both cases, he gave him his infallible, absolute word. And in both cases, America and Israel did the exact same thing with it. They dumped it and went after the other gods and the things of this world, therefore failing to carry out God's plan. Now, I'm giving you some understanding before we get to the Haiti deal. It's easy for people to stay or be upset about what he said about Haiti, unless you've been to Haiti. I can safely say this. Haiti probably is the demonic capital of the world. Remember when the great tsunami hit Sri Lanka? Well, Sri Lanka, I'm probably not saying it right, but I can't form them words. Sri Lanka is the greatest capital of the world of child sex and pornography. Indonesia, where you can buy any little boy, any little girl, if you're a rich American and want to go and do whatever you want to do to them, and nobody says anything. Now, I knew this was going to come up tonight, so I did a little research today. And I can't get into all the details of it, but I'm a junior marshal as we speak tonight, and I could tell you the details, but then I'd have to kill you. But being a junior marshal and a junior FBI agent, I have now access to some great material. Let me show you what's happened in Haiti over the last 300, 400 years. In 1770, a strong earthquake devastates Port-au-Prince and then the French colony. In 1842, earthquake destroys Cap-Haïtien and other cities in northern Haiti and Dominican Republic. In 1935, an unnamed storm kills more than 2,000 in Haiti before moving on to Florida as a hurricane where 400 die. In 1946, a magnitude 8.1 quake strikes Dominican Republic and Haiti, causing tsunamis that kill almost 1,800 people. 1954, Hurricane Hazel kills hundreds in Haiti. 1963, Hurricane Flora leaves more than 6,000 dead in Haiti and Cuba. In 1994, Hurricane Gordon blamed for hundreds of deaths in Haiti. In 1998, Hurricane Georges destroys 80% of Haiti's crops while killing more than 400. In May 2004, 3 days of heavy rains caused flood that killed more than 2,600. In September 2004, Tropical Storm Jean causes flooding and land slide that killed 1,900 people and leave 200,000 homeless in Haiti's third largest city. October 2007, Tropical Storm Noel triggers mudslides and floods, killing at least 57 Haitians. In August and September 2008, three hurricanes and tropical storms kill 800 in Haiti, devastate crops, and cause $1 billion in damage. You sneaking up on me? Oh, coffee. Thank you. No honey bun. Anyway. January 12, 2010, magnitude 7. Something going on in Haiti. Now, let me just say something to you. There are places on this planet, and if you're so naive you don't grasp this, you better be careful crossing the street tonight when you go home. There are places, the Bible tells you clearly and plainly that right now, this world is not under God's control. It will be here. See? But we're not here yet. Right now, we're under the God of this world, and He runs it. And you're going to find that there's places on this planet that are absolutely given over to the devil. Now, I'm not saying God went down and destroyed. I'm not saying that. I'm giving you information so you can have some understanding about what goes on in the world. It's what I'm giving you. But you got to face the facts, folks. If you go through that Bible in the Old Testament, God's wiping out nations all the time. I mean, you just want to get to the point where you just throw that out and don't do anything with it. You're going to come up short in some areas. Now, hear me out. I've been in Haiti. I've been in Haiti many, many times, as I have been in Central America. Without a doubt, Haiti is the in my mind, and I've been several really demonic places. One of the most demonic I've ever been was in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, where I stayed in a hotel while we were preaching in a church, and the people found out that we were Christians in that church and had such a hatred for us that every night as you went to bed, you could watch them ringing your hotel around there with little lights where they were killing chickens, praying that their God would come and kill you. At that point, I've never eaten chicken again. I run in the morning, and I'd run down the hill. You know, we kind of up on a place. I'd run down there, and there'd be blood chicken things, and things spread over with blood all over the place. Looked like a Normandy beachhead day after. Don't tell me it ain't out there. There's whole towns in Haiti that are satanically controlled. Haiti is the capital of voodoo and all of the witchcraft that goes on in this world, unbelievably. There are whole towns that you better not be anywhere close to when nighttime comes. I told you about the boys that I sent down there that when they got into Port-au-Prince, they had to drive 4 or 5 hours up to the mission place. And the missionary was very emphatic that there was a town that they had to drive by on the way. And that town was a satanically induced town. And outside that town, by the ritual of that town, was the gigantic dead tree that had been there, they say, for thousands of years. But that tree was dead, and that tree was demon-possessed, and it was the object of their god. And you can believe it or not, but I suggest you get out more often, because it happens in the world. Our boys were driving up there, and the missionary said, whatever you do, plan your trip that you're not anywhere around that town at nightfall. My best advice. They were driving her up that thing and went down that thing and come across that town to the edge of it and skirted and saw that tree. And the moment they got under that tree, their car stopped running. You see, you get so caught up with her head turning around and green vomit coming out that you don't think it's real. You're so busy looking down in your kid's head for 666, like on Omen 1, 2, and 3. I saw it, Joe. I just want you to know that. No, it's all right. It's all right. You know what? You're okay, because for you to be the devil, you have to stand on your head, because from my angle, it's 999, so you're all right. But anyway. It happens. It happens. I had a missionary in Africa one time, and Africa's another place that happened. You see, there's two things you've got to learn about the Bible. This is called Understanding 101. That Bible says that the devil comes in two ways. First way is an angel of light. Second way is a roaring lion. Now, let me analyze that for you. This is called understanding. So you can put the world together. In cultured countries like ours, though there's witchcraft that goes on and there's things that go on, but it's in somebody's dark, dank basement. The devil's not going to waste time in America with voodoo, witchcraft. And all. Oh, yes, he'll get some stupid people with an Ouija board and spell your mother's name. Okay, big deal. But in America, or high-cultured areas, he doesn't come after you like that. You know why? He comes as an angel of light. He puts on his religious robes. He talks about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He talks about peace, peace, peace. He talks about loving each other. He talks about all the things, and he destroys true biblical Christianity, but he portrays himself as an angel of light. I mean, come on. Are you so dense that you don't find the first time the devil wanted to destroy the world when he showed up to Adam and Eve back there in the garden, or really Eve? I mean, what he wants to tear up God's whole plan, and he knows that Adam and Eve are key to the plan. So what did he do when he went into Eve and she's all by herself? Did he say, hey, why don't you and I go out and get drunk and smoke a little dope and we'll have a great time and we'll just flip our nose off at God and just have a great time? No, he didn't do that. No, when the devil with Eve wanted to throw the whole world into disarray, his first words out of his mouth, this is called Understanding 101, was, yea, hath God said. Not, hey, baby, let's party. It was, yea, hath God said. And then when you study the passage, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, I'm spitting all over you. Your face is dirty. Your turn's up. Here it comes. Are you thirsty? Just open your mouth. Here it comes. Anyway. And then he conveniently changed what God said. That's how he works in America. Now, you go to Africa. You go to Haiti. Haiti is the poorest country on this planet. Maybe not anymore with some of the African places, since all that's happened down through those places. But Haiti is destitute. Why do you think the whole city was just destroyed with an earthquake? Because it's all put together with spit and glue. It's absolutely a debacle when it comes to economy. In those kind of places, he doesn't come on as an angel of light. He comes on as a roaring lion. And he holds them in voodoo. He holds them in witchcraft. You got to understand how the devil operates in this world. I know we live in America and we're so sheltered and we see all the goofy stuff on TV and we think it's just a movie. You better get out more. In the real world, it happens. Just doesn't happen here. I had an African missionary one time that was in deep part of the in Africa, and he was boy, that's where you see the demon possession. And he was down there and he had to go 30 miles to another village because the witch doctor was putting spells on everybody. Oh, yeah, just like the witch at Endor. With a familiar spirit. So he drives 28, 30 miles to the next village. And here's a woman in that thing that's got a spell cast on her, that's got a demon in her, and that demon is a choking demon. And that demon is making that woman choke, and her eyes are back in her head, and she's going through all kinds of convulsion. He spent 4 hours casting that demon out and getting that demon out of her, and she collapsed in her arms, and he went back to his place, drove back the next morning, took him all night long, and when he got home, guess what? He found out the exact same time he was casting out that choking demon, his 9-year-old daughter choked to death. That's not a movie. That's reality. It happens. It happens. And there's places like Haiti that are, and I don't, you can say all day long, well, it's because they, when the French was there, they prayed to do this. Oh, that's a bunch of junk. Let me tell you something. They're there because the main religion in that country is the most satanic religion on the face of this planet. 90% of the population belong to this church. That's where the problem lies. And the witchcraft is unbelievable. The voodoo is unbelievable. The demonic activity is unparalleled. Now, you want to know where the demonic force in America starts from? Maybe lights will come on. Maybe 2 and 2 will now mean 4. You know where the influx in this country? I mean, the bottom line is this. You do know that the devil wasn't going to let America become the nation that God wanted it to be without giving it a fight, don't you? You think he wasn't going to come in and do something? The church system in Europe that was butchering God's people by the millions, by the fact that they believed, was simply the Roman Catholic Church. Pope Pius, Pope Urban, all of them, all put together wars against Bible-believing people to kill them because they would not submit to the Roman Catholic Church. Don't take my word for it. Don't even get a book out of our Bible, out of our library. Go to the public library, get you a Roman Catholic encyclopedia of their history. They'll tell you the story in more graphic detail than I can do. You need to get out more. When they came to this country, to found themselves as a free country that they could worship the Bible and God without somebody busting down their door in the middle of the night and putting them in their prison or cutting their fingers off or some of women taking hot pokers and running them up their vagina or sticking, burning their eyes out with hot pokers. That's what they fled to come to America. You think the devil didn't come after them? You know where his, we all know where the founding fathers came in, there, Plymouth. You know where the devil came in? Somebody raise your hand and tell me if you know. Anybody know? I got one down here. I know you'll know. Steve will probably know. Anybody? Roy probably knows. I know Rebecca knows. Hang on a minute. This is called Understanding 101. There's more that goes on out there in this world, folks, than just reading your newspaper and hearing it on the news. Facts, knowledge, wisdom. But you got to get understanding, and understanding is what God is doing in this world. God's people are so naive. So naive. And yet you don't have to be. Remember the verse? Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. All things. You know what that word means in the Greek? All things. You know what it means in the original Hebrew? All things. You know what it means in the Swahili?
All things.
All right, where's the import part? Michael, tell me. Well, yes, it is, but where do they come ashore? Where's their import part? Closer. What? New Orleans. New Orleans. What's in New Orleans? What's in New Orleans? Besides crawdads what's in New Orleans? Huh? Well, I know Katrina. Leave your old girlfriends out of this. We don't want to talk about that. What is in New Orleans that is very important for what I'm talking about? Yes, ma'am. One of the largest Jesuit colleges in this world. What is the name of that college? Anybody know? What is it? Loyola University. New Orleans is named after what? Oh, maybe we better go back. In 1492, boys and girls, Christopher Columbus. No. This is how you remember it. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Roses are red, and violets are blue. You don't get this story, I'm going to really clobber you, okay? No, okay. Yes, that's correct. Named after New Orleans, France. What is New Orleans, France? Anybody want to tell me about that? That's the hotbed in France of the Jesuits. Who are the Jesuits? The Jesuits are the CIA. Want a comparison? We have in our country a CIA. Central Intelligence Agency. They gather all the intel underneath the surface of every, they're supposed to, all the information, and they're supposed to be our eyes and ears under the ground. The Jesuits are the CIA of the Roman Catholic Church. The Jesuits started with Ignatius Loyola. Ignatius Loyola was commissioned by the Pope to start an organization of supreme intellects that would counter the Reformation of Martin Luther. And that's exactly what they've done. I don't have time to get into it tonight, but you know what? You want to stick around, come back next week. You really want to push the issue, I'll take and show you how the Jesuits got us into World War II, World War I, World War II, and in Vietnam and in Korea and right up to where we're at today. Got some time? Got some time? I'll show you. It's called understanding. So our country, founding fathers founded this country in 1776, you know, before that, with and got this thing going. You think the devil didn't come after it? Well, it wasn't 50 years after your pilgrim's fathers landed that the French landed in the port of Orleans. And the Jesuits came ashore there. And they come up through New Orleans and up into the area that had expanded from the East Coast. And they set up their own colony. And the head of their colony was a guy by the name of Lord Baltimore. And he tried to overthrow what the colonists were doing. And so he established a territory, which nearly became a state, named after the number one thing in the Roman Catholic Church. You know what it is? Maryland. Maryland. It's called understanding. Well, I guess you thought that when you drove from Pennsylvania to West Virginia, now West Virginia, there's a great place to go. I guess you just thought when you were driving through there and you're coming through Pennsylvania and you saw the big sign, now entering Maryland, you were just saying, oh, I already feel merry because I'm here. Man, this is a merry state. I stopped to get gas and they gave me a free Coke. Everybody's merry in Maryland. Not the reason. And they made the capital of the state after the guy who tried to bring it in, Baltimore, Lord Baltimore. God had a plan for Israel. God had a plan for America. And they both failed in the plan. Now, I'm not here to cast stones at Haiti or Sri Lanka or any other place. I don't know. I'm not God. But I know this. I know that there's going to be places like that in this world that are absolutely, totally taken over by Satan to do what he does. Oh, thank you. Didn't even know I lost those. I would have when I started to read something. Now, what was America's part in this? You know what America's doing right now? And this is the tragedy. You know what America's doing right now? You got to stop looking at things as an American and start, if you're saved, and start looking at things from God's standpoint. You know what America's doing right now, ladies and gentlemen? They're going to send $100 billion of aid down to Haiti. Sound good to you? Why, it sounds good to everybody on the news. Sounds good to most of the people you talk to. You know what the problem with all that is? America's supposed to be a Christian nation. America was founded on the principles of the Word of God. I think we ought to send all the aid to them we ought to send down to them. But you know what we also ought to send down to them? The gospel of Jesus Christ. What America was saved for. It's what God built America. We've lost our way, folks. We've lost our way. May I ask you an honest question? And I'm all for helping people. I think we ought to take carload after carload after plane load after boatload of stuff down through there. I think we ought to send them jackhammers and trucks and big trucks and little trucks and everything we can to help them. I think we ought to load up all the bottle of water we can and send them to Haiti, give them everything we need. But you know what? Let me ask you a question. At the end of the day, what good do you do if you salvage their flesh and let their soul go right back into that thing and die and split hell wide open? May I ask that question? That's my question. That was America's plan. You know what I've learned over the years? I've learned that whenever a natural disaster takes place in a country, especially when a country is locked into Satanism, whenever a natural disaster, now this you got to understand something here. Whenever a natural disaster befalls a country that has been steeped in religion or steeped in Satanism or whatever it may be, whenever that natural disaster hits, the opportunity to change their mindset and reach them with the gospel is absolutely paramount. You know what it takes to bring you and me back to God when you and I don't want to get back to God? smacking your car up against the telephone pole. Something happened down in your life, and what's the first thing we do? I mean, come on, just be honest. When you know you're not right with God, you're not doing what's right, and God comes down and gently taps you on the shoulder. I mean, he don't send Katrina in to blow the roof off your house, but just does something into your life. Come on, first thing you do, if you're honest, is say, you know what, I know why this happened. Oh, you may tell me, well, you know, praise the Lord. You may tell your mom or your dad, oh, well, you know what, this, all things work together for good. But down there on the inside, you know exactly what's going on. Oh boy, never laugh into a cup of coffee and blow it up into your nose. Oh, I'm high. Now there's another side to it. And I don't fully understand what I'm saying. And this is where, like the question you asked me last week, Loretta, about God. Remember we asked that, and I told you I didn't have a real good answer for it, but yet you thought it was a real good answer. I don't have a real good answer for this, but it's the best one I can come up with. Folks, you got to see some things. It isn't always like the way it appears. God has a great evening and out process. When God has a nation that has turned his back on God, and the leaders of that nation are in witchcraft and steep in witchcraft, you know what God does? Sometimes God puts the mortality rate for little children very high. You know why? Because that's the only way God can get those little souls into heaven. And we don't look at it like that, do we? Because we're so focused on life and the quality of life, and we just can't understand why this thing is the way it is, and you know what? And what about all the little babies? You know when the Old Testament, when God drowned out in the whole world with a flood, you know what? All the little babies drowned out too. Now you know there were mommies out there trying to climb up the mountain with the little babies in their arms, and the water was coming up right behind them, and they were trying to. The last thing that mother did was try to pass off that baby to the person in front of her so that baby would survive. You know what? That baby drowned. But the baby went to heaven. I don't fully understand that. But that makes sense why the mortality rate in Africa is so high that little kids die. You see, we look at it the way we are. We look at it and we say, oh, those little babies die. And God looks at it and says, you know what? That's the only way I can get them into heaven. When you get to heaven, I want you to do something. If you get there. But I want you to do this. Find all those little babies out of the flood, all the little babies in Sodom and Gomorrah that got French fried there, all the little babies in Hiroshima, Buddhist, all those little babies in Nagasaki. Go to all the natural disasters and down through history and ask the little babies that died in the process, if they had their rights, would they go back now and live a full life and die and go to hell? Or are they glad that God took them when they were a baby and got them into heaven? You see, God's got a balancing out process. I'm just telling you. Now, I know what the next question is. What is that process? I don't have a clue, but I'm telling you, he does. We look at it and say, well, God's a mean old God killing all those babies, yeah? Well, when they're burning and screaming in hell, if God would have left them live and they died, they wouldn't agree with you. You've got to get an understanding, folks. That's why the Bible says wicked men don't understand judgment. They don't understand God's judgment. They look at God's judgment like some mean old God coming down and killing everybody down through here. And God may come down and kill people because they didn't do what's right. But you know what? God didn't send the little babies to hell. And in that process, I guarantee you, I don't know how to explain it. I can't lay it out for you. But I know God. I've been with him long enough now to know that God has an evening out process, that he's not going to let all those little babies grow up and die and burn in hell. But we as Americans will. We'll send relief teams down there, and we'll pull them out of the rubble. We'll give them a bottle of water, give them a McDonald's hamburger, pat them on the back, and never say one word to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll grow up thanking America, thinking how great America is. America saved my life. Get on CNN. Yes, I was trapped in the rubble for 45 days, and Americans pulled me out. God bless America. And die and go straight to hell. America's a Christian nation. You ever find any place in the New Testament where Jesus fed somebody that didn't give them the gospel and told them how to get to heaven? And we're a Christian nation? See, we want to look at the Haiti thing, and this is where, you know what, I mean, the 700 can club and do whatever you want, but I don't see him down there winning them to Christ. You see, it's one thing to spout it all off how wicked they are when you're making money off what you're doing. I mean, you know how much money he's probably worth? I mean, when Jimmy Baker was in the driver's seat of the PLT club or whatever it was, well, that club, you know what? He has his doghouse was bigger than most of your homes. If you're really concerned about that and you really think that that's God's judgment, boy, I'd be there in a heartbeat. He's got the money to do it. But that's how he makes his living, see? Now, I'm not saying God killed him. I'm not saying God sent the earthquake. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying I know God does that. I didn't say he did it there. I don't know. I'm more focused on the failure of our country getting to the place where we ought to be taking the gospel down there, because here is a ripe time to break the satanic hold on those nations, just like it was all down through the other natural disasters, that people will turn to God and you'll have an opportunity to win them to Christ and reestablish their thinking and their going, because when your world is upside down violently, that's the greatest opening to try to talk to somebody about the Lord. And that's where we failed. That's where we failed. That's why the Bible says evil men understand not judgment. They don't understand it. Somebody sees that, and I guarantee you, as we're standing here tonight talking about this, there's people out there that are saying, well, I don't understand why God does something like that. There's people out there saying, come on, we got to rally around. Those people are dying down there. They're 48 hours without water, no food. There's dead bodies laying all over the place. Let's get down there. And no concept that every one of those bodies laying on that street probably are in hell burning right now, and the ones that are about to die are going to wind up right behind them, and that whole country is under satanic control because of where they're at and where they've come from and what they've done. And the bottom line is, we as a country are probably the only nation that could go in. And that's what God's plan for us was, where God wanted him to work through the nation of Israel to bring the whole world to God. The last nation that brings before the Antichrist shows up, that is the greatest nation on this planet, find it in the book of Daniel, is the United States of America. The nation like Israel that was founded on the principles of the Word of God, founded on God, wrote God's Word into their constitution and formed a republic based on the principles of the Word of God, and then God wanted to take it and go down through the whole. I mean, come on. Do you really believe that God blessed America for what he's given them and given America all that she has? Do you really believe God blessed America? I mean, come on. You talk about technology and all of the things. Who was first to put a man on the moon? Who was first to do this and do that? Who first did the radio? America has been the leader in every aspect. Do you really think that God gave America that technology and that kind of ingenuity and that kind of mindset so at the end of the day we could put Elvis goodies for on 8-track and cassette and then on CD? I mean, America possesses everything, its resources, its knowledge, its everything to be the catalyst to the world, to pick up where England left off. And when England goes off the scene in 1900, America was supposed to come on the scene. She did for a while. But then she went the way of Israel. And that's why we sit here tonight. We talk about the disasters around the world. We talk about Haiti, who is definitely demon-possessed. We talk about all of the places. You want to see a place that is 10,000 times worse than Haiti? Just go to Europe. Just go to Europe. But you see the other side of the devil there. You don't see the devil coming about like a roaring lion in Europe. You see him as an angel of light. But Europe is 10 times worse off than anything in Haiti ever thought about being. It's just more visible. You know, when you go to Europe, and if you have friends in Europe, and I've spent a lot of time in Europe, when you take your friends and you talk to your friends about You know, in our churches, you know, we have conversations, and because of our belief in the King James Bible as the absolute final authority in the Word of God, you know, the first question, somebody says, well, I go to so-and-so's church, or I go to here. You know, in time, the questions are going to come around, well, what Bible do you use, you know? I mean, that's just natural. People that know what we believe about the Bible, they'll say, well, you know, I guess you guys just use the King James Bible, you know? That's the question that comes up. You know, if you go to Europe and Germany, if you go into France, even to England, you know that the question that people ask each other in churches isn't about what Bible they use. Do you know the question that they ask in Germany when you go into, you go to this Lutheran church or you go to this one over across the city and the two meet? You know what they ask? Is your pastor believe in God, or is your pastor an atheist? Now, I can't grasp the concept of a pastor being a pastor of a church and not believing there's any God. But in Europe, they don't have a problem with that. You know why? Because they have come through the Jesuits, and the goal of the Jesuits was to get back what Martin Luther did through the Reformation, and 200 years later, they did it exactly on schedule. You want to study something in history? Study something called the Oxford Movement. You know what the Oxford Movement was? The Oxford Movement was Jesuit Roman Catholic priests going and taking seminary and entering seminary of the Anglican and Lutheran and all the Protestant churches in Europe. They sent out 600, 700, thousands of Jesuit priests over 200-300 years that went into Oxford and Cambridge that were training young men for the Episcopal Church, for the Lutheran Church. And during those guys went in there undercover, became pastors ordained by their organizations, and then went into those churches, and as CIA always does, pulls those churches back and destroys their teachings. You ever see this? Every dictator in Europe. Somebody says, well, I go to so-and-so's church, or I go to here. You know, in time, the questions are going to come around, well, what Bible do you use? You know, I mean, that's just natural. People that know what we believe about the Bible, they'll say, well, you know, I guess you guys just use the King James Bible. You know, that's the question that comes up. You know, if you go to Europe and Germany, if you go into France, even to England, you know that the question that people ask each other in churches isn't about what Bible they use. Do you know the question that they ask in Germany when you go into, you go to this Lutheran church or you go to this one over across the city and the two meet? You know what they ask? Is your pastor believe in God, or is your pastor an atheist? Now, I can't grasp the concept of a pastor being a pastor of a church and not believing there's any God. But in Europe, they don't have a problem with that. You know why? Because they have come through the Jesuits. And the goal of the Jesuits was to get back what Martin Luther did through the Reformation, and 200 years later, they did it exactly on schedule. You want to study something in history? Study something called the Oxford Movement. You know what the Oxford Movement was? The Oxford Movement was Jesuit Roman Catholic priests going and taking seminary and entering seminary of the Anglican and Lutheran and all the Protestant churches in Europe. They sent out 600, 700, thousands of Jesuit priests over 200-300 years that went into Oxford and Cambridge, that were training young men for the Episcopal Church, for the Lutheran Church. And during those guys went in there undercover, became pastors ordained by their organizations, and then went into those churches, and as CIA always does, pulls those churches back and destroys their teachings. You ever see this? Every dictator in Europe, just name them, Kaiser Wilhelm, Napoleon, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, Tito, every one of them, Castro, every one of them that forged the mindset of Europe, all studied for the priesthood with either the Russian Orthodox or the Roman Catholic Church. You know what Adolf Hitler said? Adolf Hitler said, I'm a Catholic and I will remain a Catholic to the day I die. You know Adolf Hitler never was excommunicated by the Roman Catholic Church? You realize at the end of World War II, when you find down there in Brazil, down there in Paraguay, down there in South America, where all the Nazi war criminals showed up down there? Did you read the article in the Kansas City Star about 3 years ago? It's been on the television, been in books. You could have got it 50 years before they put it out. You know how all those Nazis who were Roman Catholic got down into Paraguay and down into Colombia and down into Central and South America? They got in with forged papers hidden in a monastery in Europe, in Germany, and then smuggled down through the Roman Catholic Church in the pipeline into Roman Catholic Church countries. That's called understanding. And all you got to do is get on a computer, look up the Kansas City Star about 4 or 5 years ago, and I think I got the article someplace in my files, but it's right there. But who needs that? Man, that stuff was written about by Avro Manhattan 40 years ago. If you read. But this is what's wrong with America, see? And America is going the same way Europe went. So when you look around and you see the tragedies of this world, you put it in perspective for you and for me as Americans. And you know why the average Christian America won't get a burden to go down to Haiti and win anybody to Christ? Now, we're not ready yet. And the thing you don't do is never take green troops into combat. But years ago, when they had an earthquake down in El Salvador years ago, we had a team that was going to go down there and do a discipleship ministry in El Salvador. And an earthquake hooked down there and killed hundreds of thousands of people. We took our whole, and I had about 40 people that were going down to teach discipleship lessons and train those people. We turned that thing around in 24 hours, raised enough money and enough food and enough medicine to fill a boatload to China, got a hold of the lady down there that was in charge, was the president's secretary, and got the whole crew in. And I took a rescue team and a medical team down there, and we must have won 100,000 people to Christ in the 2 weeks we were there. We ain't ready for that yet. You know what? It's hard to get a team like that today. Maybe in time we'll get one out of here. You're a little different. You're a little weirder. You know why it's tough in churches tonight to stand up on Sunday morning and try to get the people to go down to Haiti, to win them to Christ, to respond to something that I just spoke to you about tonight? You know why? You know why you don't have, not you, please don't misunderstand me, but let me say it this way. I'm a pastor now on Sunday morning talking to his people, not you. You know why you people don't care about the people in Haiti, that we can't get a team together to get down and send them? I'll tell you why. Because you don't care about the people you're working with right now are dying and going to hell. You haven't won anybody to Christ in the last 5 years of your life. Let me ask you a question. Who right now on your list are you praying for, that you're ministering to, that you're praying for to be saved, that you're asking God and claiming them for God? There's my problem. There's our problem. I'm not talking to you, but that's our problem. Well, maybe I am talking to you, but that's our problem. That's our problem. Now, I know many of you are young. You haven't learned to get there yet. I know some of you just have come into church and you're on fire like a meteor streaking through the sky. That's good, but we got to get you to that point. But you need to understand that understanding is the key. It ain't about how much knowledge you know. It isn't how well you orchestrated the knowledge and put it into a nice string of wisdom. The bottom line that you have to get as a child of God is understanding. And understanding is simply this. What is God doing in the equation? When you look at Haiti, when you look at some disaster around this world, the thing you got to ask yourself, what's God doing there? And the bottom line is always going to go back to what God has been doing down through history and why God even had America be. You think that God was up in heaven looking at everything that he'd done and somebody runs in, Lord, you know what? Three little boats came over and they're in North America. Oh, really? Wow, that's neat. Let's get it on the big screen. Oh, look at that thing. A little bit later on, he's over there doing whatever he's doing. Somebody comes in and says, Lord, look, Dad, they're gonna fight a war against Britain and they're gonna declare their own independence. God said, do tell. Wow. Boy, time flies when you're up here in heaven having fun when there ain't no time. Boy, they really made some progress. Let's take a look at that. Whoa, look at that. Look at that guy down there. Oh, man, they wore funny pants back then, didn't they? Look at that. What is that white stuff over their hair? No. The same God, listen to me. The same God that orchestrated the development and the establishment of the nation of Israel, to bring the message of God to the world in the Old Testament, is the same God that used nations. Nations. You see, he started in Antioch, Syria, and then from there in the Byzantine Empire, it went into Europe. And when the Roman Catholic Church tried to smuggle it, God raised up a man, Martin Luther, who broke the back of the Roman Catholic Church with a German Reformation and started with a Lutheran church. And the Lutherans broke, and then somebody else broke, and then the Presbyterians got going, and then somebody else broke, and the Anglicans broke, and they got together, and God was focusing his whole focus. You realize back in the 1600s and the 1500s, there was only two nations that God could get the gospel around the world that were seafaring nations? Only two. One of them was Spain, and the other one was England. Spain was Roman Catholic through and through. England had took a stand for God and the Bible, and God was going to use them to go around the world. This is called understanding. You know what the devil said? He said, England doesn't have any navy. Why, the Spanish Armada is the greatest force on this planet. And he got King Ferdinand and he said, you know what? Get your boys together and get over there and you defeat those Brits and you get that nation back to Roman Catholicism. Get to it! Boy, in 1588, the Spanish Armada sailed. And England didn't have a navy. She was greatly understaffed and undergunned as far as the navy's concerned. And boy, all England knew that the great Spanish Armada was coming. And they were going to bring England to its knees. The devil made sure in his mind that he was going to stop that seafaring nation from taking that book to the world. And they sailed into the English Channel, and all England were on their knees. All England were praying to God because England had no navy. They had no army to fight. And all England was on their knees as the town criers came through and told them the news that the Spanish Armada was on its way. The Spanish Armada has now entered in the English Channel. Women were hiding their children. They were running for their lives. They were doing everything. And right in the middle of the English Channel in 1588, God whipped up the greatest storm you ever saw in your life and sunk the Spanish Armada. Now, how's that for a national defense policy? He told you all the way back in the Old Testament in Joshua that as long as you stayed with God and the Word, nobody would stand before you. And he sunk them. And then God took England and took them around the world. You go to Africa today, you go to Japan today, you go to China today, they speak English. You know why those nations speak English? Because their fathers and their grandfather was taught the English language in schools by British missionaries that taught them how to speak English out of a King James 1611 authorized version, written in third grade language. Called understanding. Called understanding what's going on around you today based on where God's been down through history. And this is why unsaved people don't understand judgment. This is why that if you're saved here tonight, maybe you don't yet. But if you're saved here tonight, there's no reason in time, ladies and gentlemen. There's no reason if you're here tonight and you're saved that you can in time understand all things if you just get the mindset that God wants you to have. And you know what? Nations are made up of people. And the reason why this country is the mess that it's in and not carrying the gospel down to Haiti, but sending everything else down there, is because of the people that are in it have lost their understanding of what God has called them to do. And you and I are saved people. Oh, we just got a little part of this. I mean, we're just a nothing. We're just a little band of ragged beggars, man, hanging on to the end of this thing. But we can make a difference where we're at. But we will only make a difference if you as individuals understand the book that God has given you get your perspective of where you're at with God and what God wants to call you to do, and then get in there and get it done, realizing that it just ain't about feeding them. When those British mission, wherever England went, wherever she went, wherever she started colonies, wherever she started and she put in a magistrates, wherever she went to take and to make the world better wherever she was, the missionaries followed. In 1832, British Bible Society in England was printing 150,000 King James Bibles a day and sending them around the world. And there were 25 at least other Bible societies doing the exact same thing. He wasn't just sending them food. He was sending them what they needed more than food. You can feed a person's body, but all what this world needs so desperately is the bread of life that feeds your soul. And very frankly, my dear friend, feeding the one without the other. God will deal with it when he gets back, I guarantee you. Well, let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you, Jerry, for asking that question. I knew somebody would. And I think you got a great lesson tonight. That doesn't mean we don't pray for the people in Haiti. But let's pray that God send them somebody that will tell them the truth. John Harper was a great Scots preacher. John Harper was one of the greatest preachers in Scotland. And John Harper made the trip over on the maiden voyage of the Titanic. He was coming to preach into America. And John Harper never got to America. You know the story of the Titanic. Isn't it wonderful how Hollywood always gets the whatever story they do? I mean, you watch the Titanic with Leonardo DiCaprio and all the girls, you know, and all the things that go on. And what a beautiful little story that was. And they're holding on to the rail and going down. And then she walks at the end of the movie as an old lady and throws the diamond down in the water. We all sit there and whine and cry, do-do-do-do-do-do. You know, and oh, my, what poor this thing. Oh, it's just so terrible. What a love story. Let me tell you a real story. John Harper. John Harper drowned in the Atlantic. He never made it to the East Coast. John Harper gave his life vest to somebody that didn't have one. And several people actually testified to this. A man said, I was jumped into the water. The water was freezing. And he said, I was screaming and yelling. And he said, I was asking for help and nobody could help. And he said, the water was numbing my body, and I said, I couldn't stand it, and he knew I was moments of death. And he says, I cried out into the night. I cried out into the night. Oh, God, help me. What can I do? Somebody tell me, what can I do? And he says, out of the darkness I heard with a thick Scottish brogue, somebody say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. John Harper never got to America. He drowned in the Atlantic. But you know what he was doing? He was preaching going down. I've often wondered what I'd do. I flew over the Atlantic and the Pacific many, many times. I've often wondered what I'd do if a terrorist bomb went off or somebody lost an engine and that plane starts going down and everybody's screaming and everybody's yelling and the oxygen masks are falling down in front of you. I wonder what we'd do. Would we recognize and have the presence of mind to realize that it's at the end and it's over and you're going to go out with your glittering sword out of its sheath and stand up with a bunch of people who are lost and screaming and give them maybe a 35-40. You realize if you're at 40,000 feet and you start to go down, you've got a good probably 2 minutes to preach a sermon. Now, if you leave out the poems and the illustrations, you can get some things done. Why the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That was America needed to be. We need to be ready. And if you're not ready, you need to let me help you get ready. But you need to get ready. Now, we're going to be finished here in a moment, but let me ask you this question. Maybe here tonight, you heard all that I've said, and you heard everything that I've talked about, and maybe God came down and really dealt in your heart tonight. Maybe you're here tonight, and you'd say to me, Bob, bottom line is this. You know what? I heard what you said. I believe what you said. Touched my heart. But the bottom line is this, Bob. If I died right now, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. I don't have the 100% assurance in my heart that if I died right now, that I'd go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you let me pray for you? I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you out. Our heads are bowed. But I want to pray for you. And if you're here tonight and you're a man or you're a woman, young man or young woman, mom or dad, I don't care. And deep down inside of your heart after what we've talked about tonight, I'll tell you, if this doesn't get to you, you're ungettable. Is there somebody here tonight that by just lifting up your hand and putting it back down, say, Bob, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody? Just wait for a moment. Anybody? Not going to wait long. Anybody? Maybe we're all saved. I don't know. Could be. Anybody at all? Bob, here's my hand. I'm not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. Anybody? Good. All saved. Praise the Lord. Then it was good preaching to the choir tonight that needed to hear it. Because this is the problem we get into. Remember, folks, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And that's where the lines get confusing sometimes. We're in it, and we become part of it. And the fight for you and for me is to stay in it, but not become part of it. And the way you do that, I'm telling you, the way you do that is to get in that book and keep your perspective and keep your understanding of what God is doing and everything, not even around the world, but on your own personal life, and recognize that God left you here for a purpose. And maybe the country won't do it. That doesn't mean that we as a church can't get it done. It doesn't mean that we as individuals can't get it done. We just got to have the understanding. Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good people that are here and for the exciting time in your word. And, Lord, I do pray for all those down in Haiti. I think it's a terrible thing anytime anybody, Father, loses their life. But, Lord, it's a terrible time, even more so, when they lose that life and go to hell. And, Lord, I pray that somewhere in that country, somewhere in our country, there will be men and women. We're not ready to get there yet, Lord. I wish the day come, Father, if you tarry or come, that I have 15 or 20 men and women that on a heartbeat notice can get on a plane. We can go wherever we got to go to do what we got to do. Lord, that would be my dream. It would be my goal. But, Lord, we're not there yet. But, Father, we have to start doing it here first. It's all exciting to get on a plane and go to Haiti. But, Lord, we need to do the same thing where we work tomorrow in our neighborhood with the people we hang out with before we try to do it down there. Help us, Father. These people love you. I know they do. And I know I love you. And we thank you for the word that you've given us. And thank you, Father, for this book that don't leave us just caught up with the Rush Limbaughs and all the people that tell us all of the facts and all of the wisdom of being able to put it together. Thank you for a book that shows us God's perspective and gives us what we so need, desire, and that is understanding. And Lord, I know it's true in my own life. I know, Father, that great verse that if somebody seeks you, that you'll give them understanding to understand all things. And help us, Father, never to lose what we learned tonight and yet add to it, Father. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. For a sake we ask it. Amen. Well, God bless you. Take